So good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe. Would normally be up in the captain's chair in the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio, but today I am broadcasting to you from just outside of Gate 10 at the Kailua Kona International Airport, where I am surrounded by friends of family rank with whom I have been spending the last week. And as is my custom, no matter where I am in the world, I always broadcast live and always live with as many people around me that I can bring in to be a part of our conversation. So we're going to start off the broadcast today by bringing in these lovely people. And I will set the stage just a little bit by saying that when Mary R. died, that these were the people who came into our home and were the first ones there and provided the most loving and compassionate support that anyone could have. And so it is, as I always say, it is true that I am the most fortunate of men, because not only have I been my entire life surrounded by beautiful and strong women, but also by friends who have been the kinds of friends that everybody hopes for and many do not have. So we're going to start with Jeff, and Jeff was one of the first people in my home. He is the commissioner for the road, and Jeff has been briefed. He occasionally does fail the captain's language improvement program, and he occasionally fails in that particular activity, and so he's been briefed as to what the words are that he does not get to say. So the way we do this, Jeffrey, is that I hand the telephone over to you, and you say whatever it is that you would like to say. Maybe you'd like to comment on friendships. Maybe you'd like to comment on potholes in our road. Maybe you would like to, I'm not going to tell you what you could comment on. So here you go. I'm handing the phone over to you. So this is Jeff.
Aloha from the Big Island, and welcome to 2022. Wishing everyone a fabulous, a wonderful new year from paradise to you. And here would be Michelle, another of Captain Joe's neighbors, with her aloha message.
Good afternoon and aloha from Michelle. Take care, Vashon. I'm instructed to keep the phone. Okay.
Number of cats, including two of mine. So yes. I want you to comment on that. The vending machine chain that we have on the island for kitty.
Okay.
You have to speak into the
Okay, tube. Yes, I do. This is my radio broadcast debut, so my apologies to all the listeners out there. Captain Joe has asked me to comment on the kitty cat vending machine that I run. Two of the cats, both of the cats he has are rescues, my rescues. I'm not sure how I got started in doing rescue. It was not intentional. I just happened upon a stray sick cat once over in Eastern Washington. And before you know it, I found another and another. And so I just started rescuing them, spaying them, getting them medically ready, and then finding homes for them. Yesterday was Betty White's 100th birthday, and I know that there was a Betty White challenge for people to donate to their favorite animal charity. So you can think of VIP, even though it's the day after Betty's birthday, we can still donate to VIP and Posados Haven and any other animal welfare organization. And excuse the plane, the jet noise. I myself have fostered close to 300 kitties and worked a lot with VIP to find homes. Many people on Vashon have opened their homes to these kitties, and I'm very thankful for that. How's that, Captain?
So that was well done, love. And so it is indeed true that the two that I have right now came from you, Sailor and Ellery. And I know that you have transported all of Captain Joe's people who are listening on Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band and stream live all over the world, from Singapore on one side of the world now to the Big Island of Hawaii and to the Kingdom of Stockholm on the other side of the world, and that you have transported all of those people to your world that is populated by a never-ending stream of cats that are rescued out in Colville. So the next person that is going to come on is my friend and colleague, Dr. Scott Phillips, medical doctor, MD. And Scott and I have embarked together on a number of things for the good of both the families and the road, but also for the island community. And we are mainstays and stalwarts of the transfer station on the magical Isle of Vashon. And in furtherance of our wanting to learn more about them all over the world, we went to the one here on, we went to the transfer station here on the island of Hawaii. And we have to tell you that our transfer station on the magical Isle of Vashon is absolutely world-class. And the one here is, if you wanted a true description of the word dump, this one was the dump. So we were briefed that one of the things that we had to do was to segregate, not segregate in the racial sense, but segregate in the plastic sense. And so we went out prepared to do exactly that. We had everything all set up so that we could segregate all of the different kinds of plastics, triangle 1 through 43. And glass and everything else. And you will be just amazed to hear that when we got out there, the only thing that was out there was a hot water heater, an old air conditioning plant, and some people had just put their bags of recyclables, hey, 90-90, on the ground. And there was no effort to do anything except just sort of leave it there. It leads us to believe that paradise, and many people believe that Hawaii and the Hawaiian Islands are as close to paradise as we get on this earth. I love the islands, but I don't love the way that they recycle. And so I'm going to ask Dr. Phillips to come on, because he is in particular an expert in one area which is not shared by very many other people. And he is an expert in poisons and toxicology. And I'm going to hand the telephone over to him. And Scott is going to tell us what his title is. And then I believe that he may have a warning of the season. So, good doctor, here you go.
And good day to all of Captain Joe's people from around the world. As Captain Joe mentioned, I'm the medical director of the Washington Poison Center, and with that comes a lot of teaching and education to people. And I think the message today is to keep all your medications in containers with safety tops, and household chemicals should be out of reach of children and grandchildren, and always keep the phone number, the toll-free phone number for the Poison Center system throughout the United States available to you. And calling that 800 number directs you to your nearest poison center. And that number is 1-800-222-1222. And in the meantime, mask up and please be safe. And take it away, Captain.
So with We had one other of Captain Joe's people and one of my friends of family rank who was here, but seems to have evacuated because she was concerned that the phone would be handed over to her. And she said that she had a terrible radio voice and that she did not want to participate. But I wasn't giving her that choice. However, she has taken the opportunity to no doubt do a sanitation inspection in the lady's head and therefore is not here to be with us. So I'm going to get into some of my regular features, but I have to make this comment. I don't believe that there is any other program on the Voice of Vashon, 101.1 on the 9.9 on the FM band, that broadcasts from all over the world. I have now broadcast here from the Midwest, from the Great Lakes, from Key West, Florida, from the captain's chair that I owned and occupied as her captain in Ingham, and next year, Jeff is reminding me that we may be mounting an expedition to the Bahamas next year. So I believe that you are listening, you of Captain Joe's people are all listening to the only Voice of Vashon broadcast, which may well come to you from places which are not right there on the Voice of Vashon. And now a mission, I am taking on a new mission that every place where from where I broadcast, I'm going to go in and inspect the transfer station to make sure that we have, that we are keeping up with world standards. In any case, on to some of my regular features. In clearing my traffic this morning, I came across a message from my shipmate, Josh Humphreys, who was a radarman in the Combat Information Center of my Ingham in Vietnam. And Josh is not only a constant friend and supporter of this broadcast and of everything that Captain Joe does, but we share membership on the board for the Ingham Association, and he brings up a really interesting point because we have talked a little bit on this broadcast about museum ships, and in particular have we talked about my museum ship, the Coast Guard cutter Ingham. And one of the things that we are concerned about and that Josh and I share is a concern for the viability and the continuation as the people who actually sailed in the ship cross their own bar. He makes a great suggestion, and that is that we combine the websites and other activities not only of the Ingham that is in honored retirement in Key West, but also that we combine it with the Ingham, which is soon to begin construction. For there is another Ingham coming, and I plan to live long enough to be there to be part of her commissioning ceremony. I am now the senior surviving captain in the Ingham WHCC 35 in Key West. And I intend to not only still be alive, but I intend to give a test run to the new Ingham's captain's chair. And so I am taking on board and am supporting by this broadcast, because I know that there are a lot of people in Captain Joe's people who listen to the broadcast who are themselves concerned with either Ingham or other ships in which they have served, in which they have sailed. So all of these things are, in fact, we're going to take it all under advisement, Josh, and I will write a paper in response to your well-thought-out discussion. And I believe that every suggestion you've made is something, first of all, that we can do, and secondly, that they are really good ideas. And I in particular like the idea of melding together the activities for both our Ingham and for the ship yet to come. There have been a number of pieces that have come to my attention having to do with repatriation of migrants coming in particular from the Dominican Republic. Now in from Cuba, that number is starting to go up again. And from, of course, the sad, sad country of Haiti. When I was the ICE boss for Commandant Jim Gracie was my twilight tour, and that's why I am Healy's sea daddy. We've talked about that before on this program. And but one of the collateral jobs that I was asked to take on was to take a look at some ships, because the idea was that we would have a fairly large ship, like a small freighter, in the Caribbean, and all of these migrants that were collected by the search and rescue units, the working search and rescue units, would be sent to this central collecting ship. They would be processed. They would be given medical care. Babies would be born. That has inevitably happened in some of these cases. They would be interviewed for whether or not they qualified for onward to the U.S. or whether they should be returned to their own home countries. And so I found a group of ships that belonged to the Maritime Administration, and they had all been confiscated for non-payment of loans, of federally guaranteed loans. And they were there from relatively small fishing boats, like 40 feet, all the way up to the largest one that I looked at was a small freighter of about 450 feet. And the idea was that we would take one of these out of the pool where they were stored. They were stored in the bayous not too far from New Orleans. And take one and commission her as a Coast Guard cutter, provide a crew to man her, and then an additional crew that would do the processing of the refugees. So as we worked on this project, then the numbers of migrants started to diminish and the project was dropped. But now we're seeing an increase in the numbers of people trying to leave their home countries and come to America. This may be a good time to re-examine that particular job, that particular way of doing it. And should the commandant want to call me back to active duty, I would be happy to go back down into the bayous and crawl around through some of those ships and find a suitable one. And then, since I would now be on active duty, I could also be given command of that ship, and I'd be happy to take her out into the Caribbean and make all of those things happen. Today is the 18th of January, and on the 18th of January in 1943, a terrible, terrible tragedy happened in the United States. And the sale and purchase of previously sliced bread was all prohibited. Did you know that, Michelle? I see this is the people that are sitting right next to me right here at gate 10 of Kailua Kona International Airport are gobsmacked that something like that would happen. And the reason it happened was that there was a shortage of flour. And because there was a shortage of flour, there was a shortage of bread. And so they, people who were managing the rationing of food during World War II in this country, all wanted to figure out a way to get people to buy less bread. And so they decided that the way to do it would be to make sure that they could only buy it unsliced, where they would have to slice it at home. Well, the people who manufacture bread slicing machines protested mightily. And not only that, but consumers protested mightily. And Dr. Phillips is sitting next to me, and he is expressing amazement at this whole story. And so it lasted, this prohibition lasted for 3 or 4 or maybe 5 months. And there was such an outcry about it that people who managed food rationing, where you had stamps, you had little coins. You had food rationing coins that were different color. I can remember those. And so the people who managed the rationing of food, people were allowed to use those ration stamps, coupons, and coins to buy once again sliced bread. Another alarming development having to do with automated chips. So the Wärtsilä company, which is a Finnish company, and it is a company that builds icebreakers. And when we were starting the design work on the ship that we now know as the Coast Guard Cutter Healy, the Wärtsilä company approached me and wanted to be one of the contractors. The Wärtsilä in Finland company wanted to be one of the contractors to either build the entire ship or to build pieces of it and then ship them here to the States. We have to build in American shipyards. And so as a result of that requirement, some foreign companies have bought American shipyards. A good example of that is what we all know as the Old Bay Shipbuilding Company, built a number of Coast Guard cutters and was bought by a company called Fincantieri in Italy. But it is an American company. It's incorporated in the United States. It has an American board, but the financing to actually buy the company came from the Fincantieri company. So Wärtsilä would have put together probably some sort of a consortium where they could fulfill that requirement. But they lost interest for a couple of reasons, and one of them was that it was taking so long for the Coast Guard to come up with a decision as to how to fund and when to build this particular ship. As a result, I was retired for a number of years before the Coast Guard Cutter Healy was constructed, and now, of course, she is a valued member of the fleet and has proved to be the decisions that we made in her preliminary design work. All of them proved to be the right decisions. She's turned out to be a wonderful, very efficient, and a very productive ship. So Wärtsilä did not have anything to do with the construction of Healy, but they sure did try. And they have branched out into another couple of other areas. And one of the areas in which they branched out is this whole business of automating insofar as they can, and even retrofitting old ships to do such things as to without any skill from the conning officer, put a large ship alongside a berth and do it automatically. Well, I'm not in favor of anything like that. So as you can well imagine, it took me a long time to learn my skills. And it was a point of pride with me that none of the ships under my command would ever be touched by a tug unless she were cold iron. In other words, all of her machinery was shut down. So I'm, of course, as I am with a number of other projects, Wärtsilä's efforts in this regard, and I'm going to continue to advocate for young conning officers being brought up such that they are allowed to handle the ship and that they are learning how to handle the ship using her own systems. We now have very powerful bow and stern thrusters. There's no reason why a young conning officer should not be able to put any Coast Guard cutter alongside without any tug assistance. So That's my take on this whole business of automated docking. Wärtsilä, you can sit in the back in the after steering on that one, so far as I'm concerned, And so we're going to move on to one more thing before I come to the end of my time. One of the things that I see on my incoming traffic is a program called the Discoverer. And periodically, the Discoverer comes up with a listing of places that they think I would like to go. So the one that came up this morning was 10 castles to visit in Europe. Now, I have to tell you that if there is a castle anywhere within steaming or flying distance, I will go to see it, just the same as I will take the ferry, even if it involves a long, long detour. And so so the same thing is true of castles. And one of the castles that is on this list that they want me to go to, along with several in places like Austria and Germany on the Rhine, is one called Hever Castle, and it is in England, and it is, among other things, it goes back to the 13th century, and among other things, it is the home, the childhood home of Anne Boleyn, who, of course, was one of Henry VIII's wives. So I looked up the website for Hever Castle. They all of them have websites, and I will point out to you, just as true with this airport, you cannot get to a gate without going through the gift shop. You cannot go into Westminster Abbey and get out of Westminster Abbey without going through the gift shop. I always thought that was a little bit smarmy. And when you go on to the website for Hever Castle, one of the first things you see is the opportunity to make purchases in the gift shop. None of the people with whom I'm associated are gift shop addicted, and therefore they would never go into one. But we're given the opportunity. And I just looked at this Hever Castle. What for a castle aficionado, one really wants to go there because it has a moat. It has crenellations, which are the little teeth-like shapes on the top of a castle. It has everything that a castle addict would have. And for those people who cannot resist the opportunity to go into a gift shop, should there be any of Captain Joe's people who are listening today, they are given that opportunity by going to Hever Castle. So we've come to the end of our time, and I've got about 2 minutes to expand just a little bit on my usual closing remarks. And those have to do with friends, and it has to do with kindness, and it has to do with taking care of those for whom one is responsible and accountable. So I opened this broadcast because I'm surrounded by friends of family rank who fulfill all of those traits. They fulfill all of those characteristics. And if one is fortunate enough to have that in their lives, then you are also indeed a fortunate person. And part of that is the same concept. They would not put it exactly the same way as I do about a shipmate, but it's true with them. And that is that these are people who put their friends, their family, people for whom they are responsible, before themselves. And that is exactly the definition of a shipmate, and it is the one with which I leave everybody this morning, this afternoon. Right now it is almost 1100 hours, so Hawaiian Standard Time, and we're about ready to get stuffed into an aluminum tube and fly over to Oahu, where we're going to spend 3 days of going into our past. And both Michelle, who is an Army brat, her dad was at one time stationed at Schofield Barracks, and I was stationed there right out of the academy, going out to Double Victor for all of you Ocean Station people. So I have come to the end of our time together, and it is your Captain Joe from the captain's chair, always on station and watching properly, and always mindful of the responsibilities and obligations of being a shipmate, someone who puts his mates and his ship before himself. So we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again, and we'll meet again right here a week from today. I will be back up in the captain's chair in the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio, or if we're back in the studio. And with that, then, from all of us here in the Kailua Kona, just about ready to stuff ourselves into that aluminium tube at Gate 10, all of us, from all of us here, a big and most loving aloha.
Aloha!
Yeah.